The truth of any matter can be a continuous search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Arthur Medina, and I will be leading this week as we bring you episode 29. With me are co-hosts for this episode, Mr. Wiley Harris III and Mr. Remy Echo. Welcome, brothers.
Hello. How you doing?
Blessed and highly favored. What a blessing it is to share this time with our TSV family and you guys. Let's open episode 29 in prayer. Father, we just come to you. And we plead the blood of Jesus, Lord. We ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings, those sins that we may have committed knowingly or unknowingly. We just humbly ask you, Lord God, that you be with us during this podcast. Help us, Lord, to share your word, Lord, share your truth, and enlighten the people, Lord, that they would be encouraged, that they would be enlightened as well, and that they also will be just on fire for Jesus, Father. Lord, we just humbly say thank you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 There's so much to be thankful for. And one of those is the episode we shared in episode 28. Brother Wiley, could you give us a recap, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. We concluded the series titled The Divisions Among Us, The Color of Our Skin, Doctrine and Denominations, with a biblical look at denominations. We provided scripture as to why denominations are divisive at its core and is a part of the enemy of our soul's plan to spread his doctrine in an attempt to draw believers away from the faith. We believe we did our part in the continuing of the healing and unifying of the body of Christ and will continue to do so at Holy Spirit's direction. Check out episode 28 on your chosen podcast platform and on our website, thespokenverity.fm. We thank you for your continued support.
Thank you, brother. It is not a coincidence, and I'm sure that the listeners have no idea about this, but this topic kind of is a spiritually naturally progression of our last because there's so much to think about now. There's a lot we put on the table for people to have to make a decision of where am I at in my walk? And am I in the right place? And where does God want me to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. For us to get there, well, there's some things that have to happen within ourselves. And there's no doubt the hardest thing in the world to change is your mind. There's no doubt about that. And people do what they do because they believe what they believe. Mm. And that's to say that there's a quality within us that precedes cognition, and that is a belief. Mm. So how do we get there? It's proven by the age of six, we believed enough lies to shipwreck our whole life for the rest of our life. We have all these issues and all these misbeliefs and so on and so forth. And the purpose of this particular episode is for us to take a moment to possibly reset. You know, we can be the new creation in Christ. We've taken that step of faith. We've repented of our sins. We've asked Jesus to come into our hearts. The Holy Spirit is now there. So many people just get stuck there, though. and they continue to rely on their own understanding, as the Bible says, instead of going the next step, which is to continuing to renew your mind. And that's where we want to begin with the first question. And I will be starting with Brother Remy. So my first question is, why does God emphasize renewing our minds? And let's look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. I don't know if you have your version out. Do you want me to read my version first, or you want to go ahead and just take it?
Read your version, brother.
Okay. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Thank you, brother. So the question Holy Spirit has led you to bring before us in this first segment is, why is the renewing of our minds emphasized in the verses you just read? Well, I believe that a little bit of background information would help to better answer that question. The verses you just read starts with, therefore. So it's a continuation, right? We are brought in the middle of this. We could say it's a continuation from Romans 11. Actually, a continuation from Romans 1 through 11. In those chapters, the Holy Spirit inspired Apostle Paul to write down some doctrinal teaching detailing various concepts of the gospel. And now in this transitional verse that starts up chapter 12 of the letter to the Rome church, he's led to help those who have been saved by the gospel. How do they conduct themselves? How do they walk in this newness of life? He starts by urging us, pleading with us, beseeching us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is our true worship. And he bases this plea on our appreciation of the great mercies of God, right? He says, I beseech you with the mercy of God. So this is something we should do as a sign of our gratitude, as a response to the goodness of our sovereign God. There's so much meat in that that we can chew on in that very verse, but that might just be another episode. Holy Spirit then inspires Apostle Paul to instruct us now in verse 2, not to be conformed to this world or this age, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. So that's where the question is set before us now. On one hand is conformity, as it says, be not conformed, blending in, being liked or admired. How many followers do you have? How much of the world loves you? And on the other hand is transformation, changing into another form, kind of the metamorphosis of a caterpillar, if you would, right? From being a caterpillar into a butterfly. This is not just changing a few characteristics here and there, like, okay, I'm going to change this color. It is a total transformation, right? A fundamental change of our personhood. And such a change is the essence of the gospel of Christ. It does require a lot of effort to do this. And Holy Spirit now gives us the playbook through Apostle Paul by telling us to do this through the renewal of our minds. So why the emphasis on the renewing of the mind? Well, the mind is at the epicenter of our personhood, the faculty of consciousness and thought. Whatever we hold in our minds to be truth forms a conviction in our heart, and that conviction in our heart translates into action. It all starts from the mind. In episode 27 of TSV, we explored the battle between the spirit and the flesh. That battle takes place in the mind, so we can see why Holy Spirit emphasizes on the renewal of our minds. I'll wrap my contribution to this segment by reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning from the fifth verse. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God, because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we see here the importance for us to renew our mind so that we can be true friends of God and be able to please Him and not continue to be in hostility.
Thank you, brother. Great answer. Great answer. And I really appreciated how you kept the context of things of chapters 1 through 11 being a foundational part of it, transitioning into now this is what we need to do. So thank you for that, brother. Brother Wiley, why does God emphasize renewing our minds? Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Thank you, brother. And following Brother Remy's answer, I'm going to add to several things that he's already said. And I think it's important to note that, as you mentioned, Brother Arthur, and then what Brother Remy did is providing the context and the background leading to Romans 12. And it's very important that we understand that without renewing our minds. And see, this piece is very important. You talked about this in your opening too, Brother Arthur. You said how from episode 28 and the indoctrination through denominations to your mind to get you to believe and to think something that's different than what the Word of God says, this now as a natural progression or spiritual progression, should I say, in terms of now talking about what do we do in the renewing of our mind and what God is emphasizing in the renewing of our minds here specifically in Romans 12, 1 and 2. So without renewing our minds to the verity that is the Word of God, and then applying it into our lives, we will still live a defeated life. We won't walk in the complete victory that is already ours in Christ Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2 are the base scriptures you provided for us to answer your question with. These scriptures provide answers as to why God is emphasizing the renewal of our minds here. He wants us to walk out what His will is for our lives. We see from the second verse that there are three wills that are laid out here: God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for us. Detailing each will and how it applies into our lives is another show. But what I do want to do is highlight that how much we immerse ourselves in God's word, allow it to change our thinking, and then subsequently our words and our actions determines how much of His will we will fulfill in this life. So I'm going to go a little bit in a different direction just in terms of the application of this scripture. But this is why the truth that is the Word of God is living. It applies the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this portion here about the renewing of our minds is also tied to how much of the will of God we fulfill in this natural realm. Now, I skipped verse 1 intentionally as I began my answer because I want to spend the most time on this verse and the first part of the second verse for my answer. Our bodies are not our own. And see, now this is kind of the shift here. People always talk about it's my body. I can do what I want to do with my own body. But it's very clear here that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Verse 1 of Romans 12 says that presenting your body to God for His use is really the most basic thing that you can do for Him. Even in the most basic fundamental operation by a believer, you must still freely choose to do this. Because the start of the very next verse shows you why the exercising of your will here to do this reasonable service is needed. Presenting your body to God assists you in not being conformed to this world. Once you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must make the conscious decision to sacrifice your old way of thinking and soak, as my brother Remy says, yourself in the Word of God. You must do what Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forget those things which are behind," meaning the old man. "I reach forth to the things which are before," meaning the newness of life in Jesus Christ and how we think. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You must let go of the old thinking, TSV audience. You must embrace the newness of life that is yours in Christ Jesus.
Come on.
And as you do, you will be able to walk in God's high calling for you, fulfilling your purpose on the earth.
Amen. 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 Well,
I'm trying to, you know, cool you off there, brother. I'm virtually cooling you off.
The heat is coming through the monitors.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
But no doubt about it, the way you say it and the way you expressed it, where the mind is, the body will go. You know, and that's why I think it's so important that we renew our minds and let go even of those things that we think we were taught. You have to run it against the word of God, because there's a possibility that mama might not have got that one right.
Hey.
There's a possibility grandma might not have got that right.
Come on with it.
And if that's the case, then that's one of the reasons why we just got to come back to the word and say, well, God, what does God have to say about this?
That's right.
And we move from there. Because the idea isn't for us to merely survive. Really, it's for us to overcome, to be more than conquerors, and to be a witness to what God is able to do. And we won't know that unless we do renew our minds, unless we take that time to examine ourselves and understand what is it that God is saying to us? What does he want us to do in and through us? And sometimes we make it more complicated than what it has to be. And I think that just spinning off of the last episode, that's one of the reasons it's not really funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. And that is, people try to control you and manipulate you into believing a certain thing. But all you got to do is take time to really examine it under the word of God. And what does God have to say about it? I mean, I don't want to seem redundant, but again, you know, we do what we do because we believe what we believe. And that's why it's so important to understand that all this. Let's move on, because there's a lot of ground we're going to have to cover in the next two questions. And Brother Wiley, stay on the mic. I'm going to start with you on this next question. And that is, how do we overcome negative, self-destructing thoughts?
So here's another one of your how-to questions, brother. And so I'm going to answer it as such. What I'm about to detail has been a part of my process as I have overcome these types of thoughts. Sure, the enemy attempts to come back with them every so often in my life, but I know who I am in Christ. These are tasks that I did intentionally, initially, until it became a part of my way of thinking. Remember, these are points of emphasis that I have applied in overcoming these types of thoughts. I will always direct you to rely upon Holy Spirit to show you how to implement these and other steps to overcome this way of thinking. It is not me that did it. I'm applying what the word of God says, and then the result of that is the overcoming. So I want to make that clear. This is not the Reverend. This is Holy Spirit and me being led as a son of God to implement this into my life, and then how it affects my household, my wife, and my children. So before I get into those practices, those processes, let's remember Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is part of the reason why, even as believers, we don't want to read scripture, because it's going to expose where you are.
Come on.
Either on the positive end, to where your mind has been renewed to the fact, or on the negative side, to where it's not. And so because of it cutting you and piercing the dividing of the soul and the spirit, is too much for you. So you back away and you want to stay in those comfortable places. But then that's when the negative self-destructing thoughts come in, when things that are attempting to attack your mind, it's because you have not immersed yourself, soaked yourself in the Word of God. So we can now help to cut away these worldly thoughts and mindsets so you can stay in the truth, and then you can affect change in your sphere of influence. So firstly, and again, this is not necessarily in a how-to step, step one, step two, step three, or what have you. These are things that I've done and still have to do from time to time in terms of the enemy tries to come back. We must take our eyes off of the negative situations that are around us and focus on Jesus. And see, this comes back to the yielding to Holy Spirit in this area. This, you got to get the pride out. See, a lot of times we focus on those negative situations because we're looking for what the solution is to get us out of this pain. But what we don't understand is that the solution is in the Word of God. And there may be a process.
Come on.
You didn't fall into that trap in 2 minutes. It may take you a little longer than 2 minutes to come out of it, but understand that it's a process. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Colossians 3:2 says to set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. This goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. And you got to get your eyes off of the negative situations that are around you. And I know it's everywhere. It's everywhere in the world. It's all around us. We see it on television. Unfortunately, we see it at times in the church, on your jobs, what have you. But you got to get your mind off of that and focused on Jesus Christ. Now, you won't do this first step without first trusting in God. You won't do these things, taking your eyes off of the negative situations, without trusting in him. And that comes from relationship. Again, time spent with Holy Spirit. So for the second one, we must keep guard over what we allow into the gates of our souls, specifically what we watch and what we listen to. The first part of Proverbs 23:7 says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." If you are meditating on the lies of the enemy, as opposed to what God says in his word concerning who you are, you will struggle in your thought life, which will then translate to you saying and doing things contrary to God's will for your life. You are being snared by the words of your own mouth, as scripture says in Proverbs 6:2. This is self-sabotage, TSV audience. My last point here is that we must remember that we are in a battle with the enemy of our souls for control over our minds. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I know we're going to talk about the scripture a little bit later, brother, but I believe that it's apropos here, just in terms of the application as to how you overcome these negative thoughts. You have to speak the word of God as specifically prescribed in scripture. This is a daily, sometimes hourly, resistance. As I have expanded upon in various episodes in season one, when we cast down these imaginations, these thoughts, we must replace them with what the Word of God says about us in that particular area where you are being attacked. Philippians 4:8 is a good place to start when you are deploying the weapons that you have to use in order to cast down these types of thoughts in this spiritual battle. I'm not going to read that scripture, but it tells you what you need to think on. Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is just, these are the things that you need to be focusing on. Remember, TSV audience, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The victory over anything that is contrary to the word of God is yours through belief and confession of Jesus Christ. You must continue to speak this truth as you overcome these negative and self-destructing thoughts, brother.
I'm telling you, you're going to make me go to my praise dance. I'm telling you.
Amen, amen, amen.
You guys are on it. You're definitely on it. And but you also reminded me of that there's a saying, because you talked about in Colossians where it says, set your minds on thing above. Mm-hmm. What we don't want to do is be so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good.
Come on with that. Say that. Okay. That's right. So,
just saying. I'm just saying. Good. Okay, brother Remy, hold on. Let me get my praise dance shoes on. I can tell you've been moving around over there. So this, talk to me, brother.
Yeah, I love how the Holy Spirit always moves. The way he flowed through the Reverend is, we're just grateful. I'm just going to add just a little bit and try not to be redundant. How do we overcome negative self-destructive thoughts? Well, I'll start with Joshua 1 from verse 8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible, I love how the Bible uses words. I pay attention. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, and then you will have success. You will have good success.
Say that.
like this is God telling you good success, not success, like, oh yeah, this is different. Then we come again to Ephesians 6, verse 17, where the Holy Spirit is now laying out the armor for our spiritual warfare. And if you're just joining the TSV family with this episode, we have episodes covering the weapon of our warfare that you should listen to, where we went into detail. But I'm just going to focus on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation, right? Where that can help us to reject doubts that arise from circumstances that are around us. It keeps us in that eternal place, giving us an eternal perspective. We remember that the victory is already accomplished. It has already been won, right? And also that all our hope is in Jesus Christ. So that's another place that we have to pay attention to, because the struggle against negative thinking is a battle of the mind. And my brother already touched on this in Philippians 4, verse 8, the things that we are to think about, what is true, what is noble, what is pure, we'll have to focus on those things. And again, to add to what he said initially, all of what we're talking about here is, there is a common thread running through this. There's a common theme that you can discern. The word of God. The word of God contradicts every negative and self-destructing thoughts. Because if you remember, the Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We find that in 1 Corinthians 2:16. So it's important for us to also know that when the enemy comes with his lies, we filter that through the mind of Christ. And of the verse that we'll be getting to in the thought segment, which Brother Wally also touched on, 2 Corinthians 10:15 tells us to take every thought captive. So we don't just sit and allow it to roam. We don't just sit and we're watching on TV and they're like, well, this pandemic will wipe out 50% of the population. Here comes panic. Oh, I'm probably going to die. Oh, this is going to kill me. Like, wait. Right. Like, come on, where is the word of God? The word of God should become like your doorman, if you will, when you live in a high rise. Somebody is coming in. Okay, let's find out. Who are you looking for? Who are you trying to see here? So even if you have to watch these things, like my brother has pointed out a great point about making sure you guard your gates. But even if you're flipping through channels and you see it, you don't accept it. There is a blockage that you should filter it, which is that spirit, which is that word of God. You don't just accept everything. Oh, well, you know, these children, they are going to be worldly. Oh, they're going to do this. No, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that my children will grow up to be a great heritage, to be mighty in the land. That's what the Bible says. So you contradict. Let's go back. When Christ was being tempted, three times he said it. It is written.
Come on.
He didn't go with, well, you know, you could be probably right. No, I ain't trying to play with you. It is written. Hey. That's it. That's how I answer your question, brother.
It is written. I mean, there it is. That's a segment in itself right there. It is written. And one of the things, or a couple of things that have been written, is Psalm 105:4. It says this: glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek out the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his marvels. And then I also have another scripture here where it says in Hebrews, that says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists.
Come on.
And that he proves to be the one who rewards those who seek him.
Yes.
So what's the point? Just piggybacking on what Wiley and Remy have shared with us. So how do we overcome these negative self-destructing thoughts? We've given you different verses from the Bible. God has covered all this right here. And I realize that we're dealing with strongholds of the mind, essentially. Okay. And you have different aspects. All of us have something in which we deal with, whether it's pride, whether it's, and it breaks. I want to break it down a little further. It could be things. It could be addictions. Mm-hmm. It could be self. It could be blaming.
Mm-hmm.
It could be performance.
Mm-hmm.
It could be fear. Mm-hmm. Oh, we know about that one right now. All you got to do is say COVID, and all of a sudden, you know, with the amazing thing, people are so consumed with this COVID thing. I said, well, is it possible for someone to just have a stomach ache and it don't have to be COVID?
Right.
You know, is it possible for someone to have sinus, you know, and it don't have to be COVID? Watch the reaction of people. If someone sneezes right away, everyone's like in this.
Yeah. Pandemic.
Like, oh, my God. It's like, come on. Are you kidding me? And then you have probably the more dominant of the two different strongholds of the mind. Well, fear is up there, but you have identity. Which is what we're seeing today more than ever, and sex. Okay. These are all the different strongholds, basic stuff that we deal with that the enemy is just killing us on this stuff. And God has an antidote for this to solve it. But you won't get anywhere. Unless you understand your identity in Christ. If you don't understand your identity in Christ or know your purpose, then the enemy is going to have a field day with you.
Yes.
And you don't, like Remy said, put that helmet on. You don't put the helmet on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the hard hat on a construction site.
Come on.
If you don't have that helmet on, I promise you, your head's going to get bashed. And that's how we're walking around, all bashed up.
Yep.
You know, and that's not the way God intends us to live. Come to terms and be open. That's where having accountability partners helps so much. Because if you got someone that you can share, that's the problem, I think, too, is that we're just so afraid to open up because we're afraid that, well, I don't know what Brother Wiley's going to think of me if I were to share this with him, you know, but, you know, us three, we have shared some very intimate stuff. And that's the beauty of having accountability, though.
That's right.
You know, you don't have to be afraid. I'm not worried about what I share with you guys is going to get put on a podcast or it's going to be blasted out on social media, you know. And I think that is one of the ways to help to overcome these negative self-destructing thoughts. That's how the enemy also wants you to be, making you feel like if you're on this island all alone, and you're not. That is not the purpose of God to begin with, because even in the scripture that we started with in the very beginning, Romans 12, 1 and 2, if you read through it from 3 down, he starts talking about your place in the body. You do belong. It's just understanding in what capacity and where God wants you to be. Not all of us can be, you know, well, I don't know why it reminded me of this, because I make sure, you know, I like saying, you know, yeah, I am the head of my household. But guess what my wife tells me? Yeah, but I'm the neck. And she's perfectly happy being the neck.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So anyways, let's move on to the third question, where we'll further kind of help in these different things about not just renewing, but how to overcome these negative self-destructing thoughts. And that is this: what are steps we can take to take captive what attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God? Coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, which reads, "We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." Now, context. Remember when Paul wrote this book in Corinthians, they had a whole lot of stuff going on in there right at the time. I mean, there was some stuff that, you know, it would come out on the Jerry Springer show. You know what I'm saying? So, and Paul was trying to correct all this and help them understand, whoa, this is unacceptable right here. You know, we can't have no Jerry Springer up in the church. This is not how we do this. And just pointing out different, there was a lot of idolatry going on as well. So, Brother Remy, please give me your God-given insight. What are steps we can take to take captive what attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God?
Thank you, brother. I just want to quickly comment on that, referring to the Corinth church. When you read through Corinthians, both the first and second letter, it seems like a letter being written to the church in the current age, right? Yeah. You see a lot of thread running through it, like, okay, yeah, it's interesting. What are steps that we can take? So, Barawali referenced this, and I'll just point this out as I begin to answer. This is not step one, step two, step three in that kind of a procedural thing, but these are just steps that I'll list. But I'll start by reading that verse, right? Starting from verse 4. "Since the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds." So right there, Paul sets it up. Before letting us know that, okay, we take the stronghold, he gives us the tool, the weapons of our warfare. Again, the spoken verity has expanded on that so much. We have three or four episodes, primarily led by the Reverend, where we went deep into the weapons that are available to a believer. And I encourage you to take hold of that. Now, he talks about that weapon being powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds in our mind. So that leads me to step one: soak ourselves in the Word of God. Again, in my answer to the previous segment, as I wrapped up, I touched on Matthew 4, where it was recorded about the temptation in the wilderness. You have to have the Word before, right? This is not something that in the middle of it, you're now struggling to see, okay, what do I find? So that's why it's important for you to soak yourself in it and prepare yourself. So as it is coming, you have something to counteract it. Because when you are like, wait, let me go find the word, that's not what Christ did. Immediately, he countered it. The very second it came up. So it's important for us to remember that. And also, we have to also note, right, that this is not, the word of God is not supposed to be used as magic. Oh, I'm just going to say it. No, you have to read it, let the Holy Spirit interpret it, and believe it, right? And then walk in. So we don't pick, when we say soak yourself in the word of God, don't just go and read all the promises about prosperity, all the promises about blessing. So when thoughts of lack, all that come, you go to that. In reading all those promises about provision, there are instructions attached to it, which is important for you to as well treat with the importance as much as you treat the promise. So don't just pick the promise and then, okay, yeah, I'm just going to say it because the Bible says it. Nah, you can't deceive God. Yeah, you can deceive man, but not God. The second step would be a total dependence on the Holy Spirit. This is not something that can be overlooked. Like, I'm talking about totally, completely, just surrender yourself. Proverbs 28, verse 6 tells us, "Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered." And we know that the Holy Spirit is the giver of wisdom. And then in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's important for us to make sure that we continuously seek the Holy Spirit, lean on him as much as possible for everything. We don't compartmentalize the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is something regarding scripture. So, but now it's my business. I could make this quick deal. I could apply for this loan and put up some false documents. You know, it's not really, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I'm going to make a good killing out of it. Right, really? Like, that's how it is?
Yeah, say that, brother.
Really, as a Christian, it should permeate all of you from your head to your toe, your relationship with your wife. That's like 7 different episodes. Your children, how you raise them up. Mm-hmm. Again, your professional life, how you deal with your customers, your clients, whoever it is that you are interacting in that world, that also should be part of it. My brother, the Reverend, touched on this. We watch what we feed ourselves. It is important because in Proverbs 4:23, the Word of God says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. So guard it, right? Again, I talked about making sure that the Spirit, the Word of God, is like a doorman at your building. Nobody just gets access like, okay, I'm going up. No, who are you here to see? And then they are checked right there at the beginning. And so those are the 3 steps I want to say when it comes to how we can take these thoughts captive.
Amen, brother. Amen. Brother Wiley, what are steps we can take to take captive what attempts to exalt itself against the knowledge of God?
Thank you, brother. Now, I referenced scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5, in my answer to your second question. However, for this third segment, I'm going to go a little further. I want to focus on what this exalting is in this portion of the scripture. The root of this exalting from the enemy is pride. That's the root of this, the lifting up of anything that is contrary to what the Word of God says is pride. It's, you can come up with other things, maybe fear that maybe potentially caused it or something that along those lines, but the root of it is pride. I will be like the Most High. He wants to exalt himself above God. The enemy of our souls is working to put anything that is against the Word of God before you and tempt you to choose that way of thinking, that way of living, over the instruction and the promises of God that are yes and amen. That is the exalting here. And again, it is rooted in pride. I want to reiterate that anything that is against scripture is prideful at its core and is attempting to lift itself up above and against the infallible knowledge of God. However, within this exalting, the enemy of our souls wants us to speak these prideful thoughts against God. He wants you to speak it. It's not just enough to think it. That's part of it, but he wants it to come out of your mouth now because he knows the authority and the power that you have in your words. That is why we read specifically in the first part of Matthew 6:31, where it says, take no thought saying. Now, Jesus was referencing our natural needs here to give a little context. But his words, again, are apropos in this scenario as well. When you think and then speak anything that is contrary to scripture, you have exalted that or elevated it against what God said in his word. Since the word says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed, you must believe and speak that if you are infirm, and not believe the symptoms of sickness on your body at that time. You don't say you're broke when he says that he supplies your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You don't claim fear as a part of your life because God's written word says that he hasn't given you the spirit of fear. This is part of the steps that you need to be taking. What the Word of God says, that's what you say. Not what you see.
Come on.
Not what you hear.
Come on.
Not what is out there around you, not what people that are around you are saying, if it's not what the Word of God says. That's where you need to focus. So, ESV audience, do you know who you are in Christ? Brother Arthur, you talked about this a little bit earlier. This is very important. This knowing who you are in Jesus Christ is a crucial step in taking captive anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. David said this in Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by our loving God, TSB audience. Walking in that verity helps you take captive the enemy's exalting lie. No one can come into my family and say something that is the opposite of what has been taught and laid out by me as the head of the household. Why? Because they know who they are. My wife knows who she is. My children know who they are. And why do they know who they are? Not just because I speak it to them and I sow into their lives and I continuously do that, but because they have believed and read what is in the Word of God and they are attempting daily to apply it into their lives. Not perfectly. We've said this before and we'll continue to reiterate that. No one's perfect with this. But you can be consistent.
Yes.
You can get to a point to where the Word of God will be in the forefront of your mind, and the way that I do things automatically happen. As I've mentioned before, sometimes when you first start these processes, you have to be intentional, which means you are actually having to think about it.
Yes.
But then it gets to a point to where it's become habitual, and now it's a part of your life. And that's not just the positive side, it's the negative as well.
Yes.
Did you know that when you commit your works into the Lord, TSV audience, that your thoughts will be established? Scripture says that in Proverbs 16:3. Brother Remy also mentioned this as well. Doing this daily is a part of walking in who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to commit your works unto the Lord. Don't come up with your own way of doing things. He has already written your life, Holy Spirit. It's already been done from the day you were born until the day you die. It's already been established. So the best thing, the wisest thing for you to do is go to the one that's already written it. Commit your works to the Lord. Yes, he gives you the desires of your heart, but the desires of your heart will be rooted in the Word of God because you immersed yourself and soaked yourself in it. So your desires will be reflective of that. But if you immerse and soak yourself in what you see in the world, then your desires will be reflective of that as well. We must also recognize that our thoughts originate in the spirit realm and come through our spirits and then to our souls, where our mind, our will, and our emotions reside. This verity ties into Psalms 139:14 that we just read, and also in 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. This goes back to the illumination in your spirit. Without him, you don't know anything. You're operating blindly. So if you don't have Christ, you could have, you know, billions of dollars. You could have influence around this world, but you are not operating according to the knowledge of God, the Spirit of God. You're operating according to the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. That's where you are. You're not in this place. And so this renewing of your mind, this understanding of the adjustment that has to take place, is a part of your process. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got to recognize where these thoughts come from, where they originate from, and then what to do against them. And lastly, we must build up our spirits by praying in the Holy Spirit, which will then allow our thoughts to be his thoughts as we pray the perfect will of the Father. That's what that is. You're praying his perfect will. This will enable you to take captive those things that have entered into your mind in an attempt to exalt itself against God. Knowing who you are in Christ, speaking the word only, recognizing where your thoughts originate from, and praying in the Holy Spirit. This allows you to arrest any attempts by the enemy to exalt what he wants you to think, and that is contrary to Scripture.
Amen. Thank you, brothers. Very, very powerful words, because as Remy said, it is written. We have to understand these positional truths is what is essentially you're talking about. If we don't understand our position in Christ, then again, we will struggle and continue to struggle. I want to take us to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. We'll hone in on verse 8, but I want to keep context. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Stop right there. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. What is it that's causing us anxiety? What is causing us to stress out and worry that's paralyzing us? Again, it could be fear, could be pride, it could be all these different things we've talked about. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance or situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God.
Come on.
That's pretty much what Wally was talking about, that prayer life. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ, is yours. Finally, believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. The things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things in daily life. And the God, who is the source of peace and well-being, will be with you. Man, I love the amplified version of how it just really brought this out.
Yeah, it broke it down.
It's just outstanding. So going back from verse 8, that is a picture of a healthy Christian mind right there. That's a snapshot of it right there. So what you should do is when anything attempts to exalt itself against this knowledge right here, this word right here, then you've got to look at this passage of scripture and say, okay, I'm struggling with this drug addiction, and so I'm a drug addict. No, that's not what God says here. God says, whatever is pure and wholesome, that's what I need to think about.
Preach.
Then you're talking about sex issues. Okay, well, whatever is pure and wholesome, that's what I need to think about. And then there's no way to really bring out every single issue that we face or encounter. Everyone's different. Everyone has their own issues.
Right.
But this is what we can go to right here, is remembering God's goodness to you. Because at the end of the day, once you know your identity in Christ, once you know your purpose, that positional truth is what's going to help you to propel into the next level and realize that through God, as a man thinketh, so he is. I have heard it paraphrased another way. If you think you can or you can't, you're absolutely right. So we got to be like that. What's that little red engine that says, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. That's what we got to do. I mean, it's funny. It seems so simple, but yet it's not. That's what we have to do. you know, in all our interactions and all our dealings, we've got to continually walk as the Spirit of God leads us. And no matter what circumstance or situation, with that helmet of salvation, as Remy pointed out. So thank you for that too, brother, because that's powerful right there. Then just know that we may not understand all these things that are going on, and some things aren't meant for us to understand anyway. But at the end of the day, stick to what you do know, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
Come on, come on.
Okay? And the Word of God is truth. And the truth will set you free.
Amen.
If you allow it.
Amen.
If you believe it.
Amen.
But if you continue to believe in the lie of the enemy, then that's just as powerful as the truth, if you believe it. So instead, why not believe what God says, that you are a new creation, and that whatever has been plaguing you, and that what you're struggling with in your mind, then just bring it to God and let God deal with it. Leave it at the cross. Don't try to take it back from God. Leave it there at the cross and then go. And then see what God does with the rest from there. As I wrap up this particular episode, I'd like to ask you, brothers, are there any final parting shots, any takeaways that maybe y'all would like to share with our listeners or with us?
I just want to emphasize a little bit more and reiterate Matthew 6:31, that first part where it talks about taking no thought and saying, the quickest way to defeat yourself is by speaking the negative, to speak against what the Word of God says. In Proverbs, it says, we're snared by the words of our mouths. Not other people speaking against you. You hear that all the time. Or people are talking about me, and that's what's affecting me. And Scripture says you are snared by the words of your mouth. Don't take that thought, that negative, divisive, self-destructing thought, and speak it in your life. Or in your wife's life, if you're a man, or if you're a woman, your husband's life, your children's lives, the people that are connected to you. Don't take that thought and then say it. Your needs have already been met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You are healed by Jesus' stripes.
Come on.
He wishes above all things that you prosper and that you are in health, even as your soul, how you think, your mind, your will, and emotions prospers. These are verities in his word. Believe that. Speak that. Scripture says to speak the word only. That's what you speak, not what you think if it's contrary to the word. And you won't know if it's contrary to the word if you have not put the word in. So remember that as we close out this episode.
Amen.
Brother Remy?
I'm good, brother.
You made me think of this, Brother Wiley, and I just want to be cognizant of our listeners that are international. Here in America, we're just spoiled, and we take so much for granted. But out there in the mission field, where the brothers and sisters are facing real persecution, where there's bondage that we can't even imagine. For example, this is what came to me. I don't know who you are, or it's not even a prophetic utterance. I'm just saying this. I don't care what voodoo doctor is out there, or what a person says that they're putting a curse on your life. You don't believe that. Reject that.
Amen.
Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Come on.
And the word of our testimony.
Amen.
It has no power over you.
Come on.
None whatsoever. So don't think and dwell on that because someone has said they have put a curse on you. Mm-mm. Because someone has said, well, they've gone to this, that, and the other. We don't care about that. Let me tell you, I'm not going to lose sleep because someone has said or uttered something negative against or trying to speak against our family. I'm not worried about that. Why? The blood of the Lamb. The blood. Remember that. The blood of the Lamb has nothing to do with you or that person.
Come on.
It's a finished work.
Preach.
Therefore, the next step of the word of our testimony, that's what you need to focus on. And that's why I pointed out Psalms, mm-hmm. where when you get to those points in time that it becomes tough, it's the struggle and the rubber meets the road, then just think back of how good God has been to you.
Amen.
Then speak of that, that when you should have been dead and gone, the Lord let you live on. Amen.
Hey.
So that's what I want to close with.
Amen.
We love you here at TSV.
Yes.
And we pray for each and every one of you. We may not know you by name. We may not know who you are. Please, we invite you to reach out to us.
Yes.
And we will respond accordingly. But before we do end up closing, I would like to ask Brother Remy, can you give us a preview of episode 30?
Thank you, brother. In episode 30 of your favorite podcast, TSV Family, we will be focusing on the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And with that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. There is no greater power than the power that you give us through the Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome, that enables us to be more than a conqueror. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your word that is truth, and nothing can stand against that. Nothing can stand against you, O God. Father, though the enemy attempts to confuse us and attempts to undermine our faith, Father, we believe and trust in you, Lord, and you alone. We know that with you, nothing is impossible. And with that, Lord, we just say thank you, Lord, for counting us worthy.
Yes, Lord.
That we will be used as vessels of honor and instruments of righteousness, and that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth will be acceptable in your sight, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't believed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth, that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.